Welcome back, everyone, to the Davenport Pulse. I'm Allie.
And I'm Jerry.
Today, we're going to talk a little bit about group violence intervention. And here joining us are two of the driving forces behind this strategy, Chief of Police Jeffrey Bladel and Chief Strategy Officer for the City of Davenport, Sarah Ott.
Welcome. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
So GVI has been a big topic in the news about the past 6 months. Can you talk a little about what the strategy is and why we have brought it to Davenport?
Yeah, so group violence intervention is an evidence-based strategy that's aimed to lower gun violence in our community. It's a partnership between law enforcement, social services, and our community members standing and acting together to reach out to those that are at highest risk of both violent victimization and offending, giving them a sincere offer of help to turn away from gun violence, but also forewarn of consequences if the violence continues.
So crime and gun violence are both of concern amongst Davenport residents. Can you tell us about GVI and how it aims to reduce both of those?
Yeah, so when we look at the past several years from the law enforcement perspective, we've had a significant increase, 19 and 20, in gun violence. And when we look at it holistically, I mean, you turn on the news, you turn on everything, all you see is talk about gun violence. And it looks like it's an overwhelming issue for a community to address. So when we started looking at and researching group violence intervention or other means that we can do for our community, you come up with this. We come up with a problem analysis that determines there's a very small portion of our population that is driving a lot of the gun violence, so over 50% in our case. So what it is aims to do and how we can do it is, for us as law enforcement, we continually react and react and react. This gives us an opportunity to infuse both prevention and intervention by working closely with our community, working closely with our city, as well as our service providers in our community. So we look at lanes. Law enforcement, we're good at making arrests. We're good at making, putting the cases together and making those arrests. But that's not the solution to what it is that we're seeing. So it's a teamwork. It's a team effort. And we have to have all components in order to be successful within our community.
How is this strategy different than others that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think the strategy differs in two different ways. First, I think for a long time, we relied solely on law enforcement to help lower gun crime or to decrease crime in general in our community. And our law enforcement partners are excellent at what they do, but ultimately, they can't solve this problem alone. This is a community issue that needs to be solved. And GVI is a community strategy. And so we're able to bring together our partners to work with law enforcement to decrease gun crime. It's not just solely their responsibility. I would say the second thing that makes GVI unique from other strategies is that it's very specific and targeted. A lot of times when we're talking about how can we lower crime in our community, we're talking about big solutions that impact a lot of people. We're talking about affordable housing. We're talking about education. We're talking about substance abuse counseling. And those are all really good things that we need to be working towards progress on in our community. But as Chief said, it's a very small percentage of individuals that are contributing to the majority of this crime. So we need to be really strategic in how we're addressing these individuals. We don't need to worry about these broad social solutions that impact a large majority of our community. Instead, we need to be looking strategically at those few individuals that are driving crime and figure out what they need to turn away from gun violence.
Can you tell us who's all involved in GVI strategy?
Yeah, so GVI is a partnership. It is the community, law enforcement, and service providers standing and acting together and keeping that common message of violence is not tolerated. You know, we want to keep people safe, alive, and out of prison. Mm-hmm. When we look at a lot of the efforts that our officers here within our community have done in the past few years, you know, we've made arrests upon arrests upon arrests, and again, that's not the solution. We have to be able to figure out how to infuse both intervention and prevention methods in there. But the police can't do it. So we need to rely on our community. They have the strong moral voice. They have the ability to, you know, bring that credibility into that message of violence not being tolerated and help stand, you know, standing and acting together. So there's a lot of different parts moving, all three of us have to be together on that messaging.
Can you talk about the community partners that are involved with you guys?
Yeah. So as we said, GVI is law enforcement, our community, and our social service providers. So when we talk about community, we're talking about men and women in our community who are part of the neighborhoods that are affected by gun violence, who know the families and the individuals that have been caught up in cycles of violence, and partnering with us to say violence is not going to be tolerated. We want to see you safe, alive, and out of prison. And because they have those relationships already established with these individuals, their voices are credible, right? That message resonates with these individuals because they know and they trust these community members. It's also important that our community make a stand that violence is not tolerated. I can say till I'm blue in the face, stop the violence. He can say until he's blue in the face, stop the violence. But until our community stands up and has the same message, that just doesn't resonate as strongly. And so our community members are actually a central part of this strategy. They are the ones who are able to stand up and with authority say, stop it. Violence is no longer going to be tolerated. And then we have our social service providers. So Family Resources has been a great partner in this strategy. They're victims of homicide and other violent crime division. Our advocates that are out there in the streets and the neighborhoods every single day making relationships and advocating for these individuals, getting them what they need so that they can stop participating in violence.
Is this a Davenport only strategy, or is it Quad City wide?
Well, so currently we, as Davenport, rolled this out here within our city, but as we've done in the past, we have very close contact with area law enforcement agencies as well, and Family Resources is not just a Davenport or Iowa resource, they're also a very strong Illinois resource. So it's potentially something that could grow, and I think by us having the ability to initiate it, get a baseline for it to figure out how we can potentially move this out on a bigger scale. It's definitely something we would look at and definitely something as a city, as law enforcement, we'd support.
Switching gears here, can we talk a little bit about funding behind GVI?
Yeah. So we came into this strategy at a really interesting time. Chief and I had the opportunity last year, along with our mayor, to visit a couple of different communities that had rolled out a number of different violence prevention initiatives, and we were able to learn and research and figure out what would work best in our community. At the same time, the mayor had rolled out a violent crime task force to talk about what different strategies can we be using at the same time, and then to lower gun violence. And then at the same time, the city received ARPA funding, so funding through the federal government called the American Rescue Plan Act. And our elected body decided it was really important that they put money towards violence intervention work. And at that point, they didn't know exactly what the strategy was going to look like, but they knew we needed to do something. So they put $750,000 towards violence intervention work, and then we got to build out the model, which is really exciting. We brought GVI here to Davenport, and we've hired a technical consultant through National Network for Safe Communities, and we've also hired a GVI coordinator as well with that funding. So I think a lot of times people can research solutions and find solutions, but then it always comes down to funding, and they may not be able to implement them right away. And we're really fortunate here in Davenport that we were able to identify a solution, but also implement it fairly quickly because our council put their money where their mouth is and put some funding into it towards from the ARPA funding. We also recently had an opportunity to prepare a proposal for the Quad Cities Community Foundation for their transformation grant process, and I'm happy to say that we've been awarded $300,000 over the next 3 years to help build capacity with our community partners as they start assisting us in implementing the social service provision of the GVI strategy. So we're very excited and thankful that not only has our council put money towards the GVI strategy, but now our community funders recognize the value as well, and they're also starting to fund it.
That's great. Can you tell us what the reception from the community has been thus far?
It's a you question.
I think it's a you question, but the reception has been really good. I will say this. When we were initially beginning our trainings with GVI, we were looking to take a group of us to from our community, about 20 individuals, to something called GVI University. And that was really kind of our kickoff point in bringing together all of our partners, law enforcement, community members, social service providers. And we knew who from law enforcement we wanted to bring. We knew who from our social services we wanted to bring. And then we had to figure out, who from the community should we be bringing? Who is going to be able to bring this message back to our community in a way that is relevant, in a way that has credibility, in a way that has authority? And some names were given to me of individuals that are really well connected in our community and in the communities that are most affected by violence. And I just started cold calling them. I'm like, hi, my name's Sarah. Would you like to learn more about GVI with me? And I will never forget, there was this one individual, his name is Dwayne Hodges, and he wanted nothing to do with this. And I had heard so many great things about Dwayne, like, he's really someone you need to get on board. And I called him, and I gave him my pitch, and he said, well, I'm not about just sitting around and talking about things, so if that's what this is, I don't want to be a part of it. And I said, you know what, Dwayne? I don't like to sit around and talk about things either. So I promise, if you come with us and you learn about this and it turns into people just sitting around and talking and not doing the work, I will walk out of the room with you. He's like, okay, I will come. And now Dwayne is one of our biggest supporters. He is involved. He goes on custom notifications with us. He talks with these individuals. He is passionate. To hear his story as a young man who used to come into contact with law enforcement in not so positive ways, and now has turned his life around and wants to see other young men in our community flourish. He wants to see them safe, alive, and out of prison. He wants to see their lives, be turned around and be a positive impact in our community. It is just really neat to see. And I love the connections that are being built, and Chief can talk more about this too, the connections that are being built between law enforcement and those community members. I mean, that is, one of the things that we talk about with GVI is that GVI is meant to be an avenue to increase trust and transparency between law enforcement and the community that they serve. And I really think GVI has done that, Don't you think?
Yeah, so I think we also should add in there that there's a lot of trust that has to be built with law enforcement as well. And they have to understand that we're here. We care. We're not here to arrest everybody, and that isn't the solution. So we have to figure out different pathways that we have the ability to coordinate. So I think by going on custom notifications with the credibility of our community as well as our service providers all together, it gives us, as in law enforcement, a higher credibility, knowing that we're out here. We care. We want everybody to be successful within our community. We want people to be able to thrive in our community. But we want people to stop being violent. We want the people to stop the shooting. Those things are very, very important to everybody. And having the ability to build that credibility, working with our community, is huge for us.
So you mentioned custom notifications. Can you explain, for those who might not know what a custom notification, just explain a little bit more about what they are?
Yeah. So, we talked a lot about how there's a very small percentage of individuals that are creating the vast majority of our violent crime. And so the very first thing that law enforcement does is they identify who these individuals are. And once they've been identified, then we take a group of law enforcement, community members, and social service providers, again, the power of three there, and we go and we have direct communication with these individuals. We will knock on their doors at 8 in the morning. We will go to where they work. We will go to probation and parole. Anywhere where we can have a direct conversation with them, we will try to get them wherever they are available. It's that important to us. And so we go to their house, and we have the conversation that we know that they've been involved in violence, and that violence is not going to be tolerated in our community, that if they continue the violence, these are the consequences that they will face. But that more than that, we don't want to look back at what they've participated in the past. We want to look to the future, and how do we help them build a more successful future? And so that's what our community members and social service providers do, right? They tell them, you know, stories of how they have turned their life around from violence to productivity in our community. They talk about the services that they can offer to help them. Oftentimes, these individuals have very chaotic and unsafe lives. And so if we want to make sure that they are turning away from violence, it's incumbent upon us as a community to help them get there, which means creating a safe environment for them and helping tame some of the chaos in their lives. And that's what family resources and their advocates do on behalf of them. But ultimately, the message boils down to this: the violence has to stop. It will not be tolerated. We often say, we'll help you if you let us, and we'll stop you if you make us. Like, the violence will stop either way. Either you choose to stop the violence, or we will stop the violence for you. So, custom notifications are very, they're very interesting to watch because it sounds so simple. Like, we're just going to go talk to these individuals, and you think, how? Like, this isn't going to help, right? Like, what is this conversation going to actually do? But I think that sometimes we forget that these people are individuals just like you and I. They care for their families just like you and I do. They want to see their children safe just like you and I do. They don't necessarily want to be violent. They have been violent. They've been caught up in violence. They may continue to perpetrate violence. But at their core, they're individuals just like you and I are. And GVI is a relational strategy. It's meant to build those relationships to bring them into a successful life in our community.
Chief, how does the GVI strategy fit in your vision for DPD moving forward?
So, good question. Thank you, Jerry. When we look at group violence intervention, we look at being able to develop a community-based strategy on how the police, how our community, how our service providers are in that strategy. So it's not a program. I think that's an important piece to understand. It's not something that starts, not something that ends. It's something that we develop. So as Sarah mentioned, relationships and communication are huge when it comes to implementing a group violence intervention or introduction strategy. So for us, we have the ability to work on that. Sometimes we get short-term gains, being able to stop potentially retaliatory shootings. But other times we get the ability to infuse that prevention and intervention that's going to be more of a long-term solution. So as a violent crime reduction strategy, we as the police have to always be able to look at short-term, mid-term, and also long-term goals. And group violence intervention, you know, complements a number of those areas there.
You touched a little bit on it earlier, but what do you see the impact as a whole in our community in the next 5 years?
When I think of GVI in 5 years, like, I'm incredibly excited and encouraged. I think about neighborhoods in our community where maybe people don't necessarily feel safe right now. And it's not because there's a bad neighborhood. It's not that they're a dangerous neighborhood, but violent activity is occurring. And if we can strategically address those that are causing violence in our community and people can feel safe in their neighborhoods, where we can see our community, our schools, our streets become safer for all of our residents, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I would say it's a shift in thought and a shift in how we work with our community. With law enforcement, sometimes we feel that we're the only ones or the only solution that we can impart for violent crime, when it's not necessarily true. By having the ability to work with our community and understanding that the trust is there, understanding that the communication is there, we have the ability to make huge impacts. Credibility with our law enforcement, credibility with our interaction with our community. Sarah mentioned a little bit about the neighborhoods, the impacts that some of these neighborhoods are having. People are going to bed sometimes nightly hearing gunfire. So we look at it from a different perspective, is that there's no such thing as a bad neighborhood. There's bad people within those neighborhoods, so we all have to collectively figure out how to root those people out and either fix them, move them forward in a different pathway in life, or potentially face the consequences if they want to continue to contribute on with gun violence within our community. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to listen to our community, have to be able to work with our community, but together, that's a powerful message within the next 5 years and beyond.
I would agree with him. The relationships are completely what make the strategy successful. It's what's got us this far with GVI, and I just see them growing stronger in the future. And so that's a really encouraging and neat thing to see too.
Sarah, Chief, thank you both for joining us today to talk a little bit more about GBI. We appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.